Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallitz Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallitz, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program. Maybe you'd like to come and join us at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We just would love to have you. We appreciate you so much. We are a traditional worship service. We believe church should look like church. We should believe that when you come to a church service, you should leave believing you've been in the place where you can give blessings unto God. Don't believe the church ought to look like the world. I think there's plenty of that around. You can find that if you'd like to. But here at Rallitz, we like to hold ourselves to the belief that God is glorified when things are done in a manner that lifts up Christ. And so that's what our whole services are around. You're wondering, well, if I come visit Rallitz, what is it going to look like? What's it going to be like? We're going to glorify Christ. We're going to give room for the move of the Holy Spirit. We're going to wait on God. We're going to bring our offering of ourselves to God. And then we're just going to experience the joy that comes of knowing that Jesus Christ absorbed the wrath of God on the cross so that we might have freedom and forgiveness of sins and an eternal home in heaven with Christ our King. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to share with you, if I can, I want to invite you this Sunday night at 6:30, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at... No, I'm sorry. This Sunday night at 6 o'clock, then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 6:30, we'll be having revival services at Coral Hill Baptist Church. Brother Ray Woody, Brother Brad Atwell are there at Coral Hill. I want to invite you to come join us on those nights. Just pray that the Lord might bless there and that we might be able to see Jesus put in His place of preeminence. Revivals, some folks want to knock on revivals. Some people say, well, you know, you really think you're going to schedule a time for God to show up? No, that's not why we do it. We understand that as Israel is, so often the church of the New Testament is. And we notice throughout the history of Israel, there is this repetitive motion of coming to God, falling away, and then revival. Falling away, then revival. And so we believe we are the new Israel, that we're Jehovah's children here. And at times we sort of backslide away. Jesus doesn't become the preeminent one as He ought to be. And so what we do is we schedule these series of meetings in hoping to bring Christ back to the prominent place in the man's heart, to the prominent place where it needs to be in the Christian to awaken them to sin or maybe just any sin. I started to say sin versus simply allowing other things to creep in, but that's sin as well. So I'm not going to try to make a distinction between those two things. To look at sin and to see it with fresh eyes that we might say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive us and restore us and renew us, and therefore we'll experience revival. And so I want you to be in prayer for me with that. I know many of you prayer warriors listen on Thursdays, and I just appreciate you so much. This weather has been so wonderful. I certainly hope it hasn't kept you out of church, because that's not what it's intended for. God is blessing us, and we praise Him, and we thank Him for it. Jeremiah, I want to share with you just a little bit this morning out of Jeremiah chapter 33. I want to look at verses 1 through 9. Mighty prayer. Mighty prayer. Unclaimed blessings. To be strong in prayer. If any revival is going to take place, if any great sweep of God is going to take place, it will be undergirded, and it will be empowered by Spirit-filled prayer. Sometimes, dear friends, you got to go to God and ask Him to give you a spirit where you can pray. You got to pray to be given a burden of prayer. And so we see that as it happens throughout churches. We know that God desires to bless His people. You have not because you ask not. I want revival, Lord. I want it to sweep across Horse Cave and Mumfordville and Hart County. I want it to then spread all to our other counties and then maybe across our state, our nation. I'd love to see the world swept up in a great awakening as they did in the great move in the 1700s and Jonathan Edwards' mighty sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and revival swept through that place, and it began to sweep across our entire nation, and thousands came to know the Lord that had been chosen by God before the foundation of the world, before time was even counted. So Jeremiah chapter 33, and the Bible says this, "Moreover, the word of the Lord..." I think it's significant. Let's just stop there just for a minute, because this chapter 33 opens up reminding us whose word this is. Now, it says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. Jeremiah had received another revelation, another waking. I want you to see that you're taking a glimpse into the sanctifying process in the life of Jeremiah. That God is beginning to do something in Jeremiah's heart. He's beginning to reveal more of Himself. And you say, well, does that mean Jeremiah was just now, was he saved beforehand? Friend, I want you to know, the very moment that you acknowledge that God is sovereign and that God is capable of saving you, and that you come to the Lord based upon His grace, and that grace leads you to walk toward in faith toward that Christ, you're saved in that moment, in that realization, in that awakening. You might have said a prayer at an altar somewhere. You might have sung a song. You might have took a step of faith. You may have to turn to someone else and proclaim to them, Jesus is now my Lord. Whatever form it took, whatever measure it took in your life, in that moment that you walk out of the darkness and into the light, you are as saved as you'll ever need to be saved. You're justified before a holy God and made perfect, because Christ's righteousness is then accounted to you. So you say to yourself, what are these other things I hear of? What is this deepening of the Spirit? What is this understanding? Well, I want you to know, in the upper room that day when the tongues of flame appeared over the apostles and the Holy Spirit entered into their body, they were justified before God because of the righteousness that accounted to them through the basis of Christ. But there was also another process that began. Justification was completed, and so now the process of sanctification is taking place. And that God is beginning to reveal to them. And you remember the Bible tells us that they were able to go back and look into the Old Testament, and they were able to see Scripture coming to life and Jesus on every page of that old Pentateuch that they opened up, and how all the prophecies begin to make themselves known. You see, they're growing in the Lord. We grow in the Lord. We pray that God continues to move in our hearts and grow us. So the Word of the Lord. Now, I could get into another sermon here on how that Jesus is the living Word, and when the Word comes to you, you're blessed. You didn't come find Jesus. Jesus found you. We love Him because He first loved us. If we were to say that we decided to come to Jesus, then we would simply be taking the glory of our own salvation, because we would say, oh look, I've made a better decision than all those who are going to hell, therefore I deserve glory on the basis of my decision. No, no, no! We deserve no glory, because all the work was done by God. When Saul was on the Damascus Road, do you think Saul was deciding to go toward God? God was by no means upon his mind. He was desiring to persecute Christians. But Christ, the Mighty One, the Holy One of Israel, came into the spot and knocked Saul off his horse. And if it weren't for the grace of God, we'd never know the Apostle Paul, who was birthed in the heart of Saul through the grace displayed unto him. God chooses us, and we respond to that grace in faith, praying that God might continue the work that He's begun in us into the day that He glorifies us, which is the third part of this salvation that we're involved in. So, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord, we're in verse 2 of Jeremiah 33, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. They came to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury. All for those whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. Now verse 6, behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and I will rebuild those places as at the first. Now watch these promises in verses 8 and 9. I will cleanse them from all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I have provided for it. I was watching on the television, as I probably shouldn't have been. I was kind of getting my wits about me. I'd just gotten up. I sleep during the day. I work night shift, and I just sort of getting involved, and the TV was on there, and there was a show came on about unclaimed baggage, and it was a baggage wars. And I didn't know this, but apparently all the baggage in the airports around our nation that goes unclaimed, there's a store there somewhere around Huntsville, Alabama, in that area there, called Unclaimed Baggage, and the business sells items that were left unclaimed at the airlines and can be purchased at a fraction of the original cost. And they have everything from expensive watches and cameras to clothing, sports equipment, you name it. And according to the store, over 1 million items pass through that store annually. It runs into the millions of dollars worth of items every year, and I thought that's amazing. But what's even more amazing are the unclaimed blessings that we leave with God. And here in Jeremiah 33, we find a familiar and spectacular promise from God. God says, call to me and I'll answer to you. We just read it and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Here's a promise born out of difficult circumstances. Interestingly, most of God's promises were revealed in times of struggle. If you're struggling, I want you to keep your eyes open, keep your ears ready. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister, out there in the midst of that struggle. God uses struggle to reveal things to His children. God is like a jeweler. Did you ever notice how a jeweler will take a fine diamond and display it on black velvet, and there it catches fire from the lights of the room? Its beauty's multiplied. Its value becomes more apparent. Jeremiah was in prison when he received this promise from God. Jerusalem was under siege from the enemy. Things weren't looking so good. Have you ever looked around at your circumstances and concluded that things weren't looking so good? Consider a couple of stories from the Think You're Having a Bad Day file. Listen to this. One woman came home to find her husband in the kitchen shaking frantically with what looked like a wire running from his waist toward the electric kettle. Intending to jolt him away from the deadly current, she whacked him with a handy plank of wood by the back door, breaking his arm in two places. Until that moment, he had been happily listening to his Walkman. She misunderstood his dancing for being electrocuted and broke his arm. There was an Iraqi terrorist who didn't pay enough postage on a letter bomb. It came back with a return to sender stamped onto it. Forgetting it was a bomb, he opened it and it blew him to bits. Think you're having a bad day? Truth be told, Jeremiah was in prison because he had faithfully passed God's message on to the king that the enemy was going to succeed, and that the city of Jerusalem was going to fall. The king didn't like that kind of negative preaching, so he had Jeremiah arrested and placed under guard. Isn't it ironic how we stifle the bearer of bad news? Doesn't matter if his message is true. It doesn't matter if it's something we need to know. Doesn't matter that it's often the acceptance of bad news that can usher us to the good news. We shoot the messenger. It was while under arrest that Jeremiah received the great promise of restoration for the people of God in the city of Jerusalem. The city of God would fall. But one day, in the future, after the people had repented of their idolatry, a rebuilt city would rise from the ashes and God's blessings would be on it. God would forgive the sin of His people and bless them with peace and prosperity after they repented, not before. God's dealings with His people over 2,500 years ago set a precedent for today. It reminds us, it shows us that prayer, especially prayers of repentance, becomes portal to the promises of God. Call unto me and I will answer. Not only did God say He would answer when Jeremiah called, but He said He would also show him some great things he didn't know. It's exciting to learn new things. Jennifer and I are always talking about when we learn new things, we share that with one another. I love my wife, and I love the fact my wife's got a beautiful mind. Do I think she's good looking? Yeah, but she's got a beautiful mind. It's good, dear friends, to expose yourself to new revelations about God, and then husbands, share with your wife about those things. Wives, Ask your husbands questions about things that are going on in your life. Pick up your Bible, Christians, and share with one another not what's going on in the tabloids or the gossip that's flying through your workplace. Share with each other about the things of God and watch your marriage become more beautiful. Now that was free. I didn't have that in my manuscript. That was just completely off the cuff. But I want you to know it's important to talk about the things of God with the people in your home. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you things you don't know. The scientist in his laboratory is looking for new discoveries. The inventor is looking for new inventions. Astronauts are looking for new discoveries in outer space. All these things are exciting, but to discover what God knows, it's got to be the most fascinating discovery of all. Would you like for God to show you things you don't know? Would you like for Him to help you understand your relationships better? Would you like for Him to help you understand your finances better? Would you like for Him to let you in on things that other enlightened ones are actually blind to? Then all you have to do is call, because He promises, if you do, He'll answer. Our problem is that we aren't calling so God can answer. No one states our problem any better than the book of James in the New Testament. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." If we'll ask, God will answer. And His answer will be enlightening and informative. And prayer is a great key to knowledge. You remember when Daniel needed to know the king's dream, how he and his friends prayed and God revealed the needed information in Daniel 2? The king's entire entourage of psychic friends couldn't reveal the dream the king dreamed, but God revealed it to Daniel because of prayer. Don't you love it? We need some men and women of God today who are saying, "Hey, those nuts are fakes. Wolves! Wolves in sheep's clothing! The answers are with God." Answered prayer is one of life's most rewarding experiences. Keep a prayer journal of what you're praying about, and in years to come, you'll be able to look back and see how God answered those prayers, and you will glorify God even more. I read this recently in a leadership magazine. A man by the name of Brian Ronfeld said, "My wife Angie went to a rough high school, and there were few Christians there apart from one teacher, David Munton. Dozens of his students eventually became believers. Years after Mr. Bunton left, many of them entered the ministry as pastors and missionaries." She said, "I tracked down Mr. Bunton, now 70 years old and retired, and he was choked with emotion when I told him of the many conversions since he taught at that high school. I wondered how his influence had brought such a harvest. He's told me that many times he had prayed softly over his class as he sat back from his desk and watched them work. But apart from this, he'd done nothing to influence these students except prayer. The only common point of spiritual connection the students shared was that they were prayed over by their teacher." That's it. And that's enough! That's tremendous! That's huge! Prayer. Surveys by Barna Research Institute indicate that 85% of Americans claim to pray in a given week, but only 58% pray more than once a day. And the average prayer is only about 2 minutes long. Stop and let that soak in. 2 minutes, 58% of the people. It's a wonder that we're still a nation with no more prayer going on than that. That's a start. But it's far, far cry from where we need to be. We must each one gauge his or her own prayer life. If the time we spend with God is minimal, we can't be surprised that we face problems we can't solve. A young boy was out in the backyard trying to move a large rock so that he could make room to ride his bicycle. His father watched as the boy pushed and pulled at the huge stone. And the father hollered out, "Are you using all your might?" And the son said, "Sure, I'm using all my might." But the struggle continued, and still the boy couldn't budge the boulder. Again, the father asked, "Are you sure you're using all your strength?" By now, the boy was tired and quite frustrated, so he said, "Why don't you come over here and help me move the rock?" So the father stepped in, and right away, the obstacle was removed. "Son," said the dad, "when you asked me to help, You were then using all your strength. Because anytime you have a problem, I have a problem. Don't ever hesitate to ask me for help. Are you using all your strength? Not until you have asked your Heavenly Father for help. We labor and complain of stressed out lives while all the time God is anxiously waiting for us to call so He can answer. Luke 11:1, the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Funny how, even though Christ was the greatest preacher, teacher, and miracle worker the world has ever known, the disciples didn't request instructions on how to do any of these things. Perhaps when they saw and heard the Master pray, they realized this was the key to doing all other things. "Lord, teach us to pray." That ought to be our petition. Jesus prayed before the sunrise in Mark 1, after all the others had gone to sleep in Matthew 26. He prayed in the wilderness in Luke 5. He spent an entire night in prayer before choosing the 12 apostles in Luke 6. When Jesus prays at His baptism, it caused the heavens to be open. It was while He was praying, He was transfigured. He prayed so intensely, His sweat became blood. He even prayed for those who crucified Him. No wonder the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." If Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? How much can we learn from His prayer life? "Call unto me and I'll answer." Our problem is not unanswered prayer. Our problem is unasked prayer. We praise God that He's all powerful, all knowing, and everywhere present. Then we set out to do everything without Him. We suffer from a radical case of self-sufficiency. We believe He created the world in 6 days, but we fail to ask Him to help us balance a checkbook. We say we believe He cares, but we don't go to the trouble of soliciting His assistance. We want to buy $3 worth of God, but not enough to explode our soul or disturb our sleep, or just enough to warm up a cup of milk in the sunshine. We want ecstasy, but not transformation. We want the warmth of the womb, but not the new birth. Wilbur Reese said, "We want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack." If our prayer life, in our prayer life, we want little assurance that comes from, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep," but we don't want the power that comes when they all prayed and the place was shaken and the assembly was moved together. We want our world to be shaken by God, but we don't want to pray over 5 minutes a day. We pray enough to get by, but not enough to get beyond. You remember the business I told you about? Unclaimed baggage? The bargains are so good at this store that people literally come from around the world to shop at it. And yet Christians, who don't have to travel anywhere to tap into the resources of prayer, watch day by day by day go by and never claim any of their blessings. Let's not let our blessings remain unclaimed. Let's begin today by claiming them from God. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father, we come before You because You are the only one who we can come before. All other gods are false gods. All other idols that men raise up are powerless to do anything. But Father, we know when we come into the heaven of heavenlies, in the holy of holies, that You are there. And that Your divine presence has gone on before us, Your divine work in our hearts. Oh Father, we claim all Your blessings, dear Lord, knowing that our sins have been forgiven by Jesus upon the cross, and that it's by His stripes we've been healed of our sin. And by that we can say our God is enough. Lord, bring us to our knees in prayer. Break us and mold us and shape us by Your divine will. And we thank You for these things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.